Well, good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Today we celebrate the sixth Sunday of Easter. Would you please stand as you're able as we sing our opening hymn. Christ is risen, alleluia.
He is risen indeed, alleluia.
Jesus, those who love me will keep my word, Jesus promises, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you joys beyond our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love for you, that, loving you above all else, we may obtain your promises that exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God for ever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. I ask you now to teach and encourage us through your words that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
A reading from the book of Acts. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said to Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription to an unknown God. What therefore your worship is unknown. This I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it. He who is Lord of heaven and earth does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their extents and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, through indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own posts have said, for we too are his offsprings. Since we are God's offsprings, we ought not to think that the dignity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man who he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. For the word of the Lord.
Please stand as you're able as we sing our next hymn, Morning Has Broken. Have a reading from the Gospel of John. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. For the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. You might think that the reading we just had from the Gospel of John is a bit out of place for today. We are on the sixth Sunday of Easter, still in Easter season. And we had an account from in John's Gospel is placed just on the eve of Jesus' arrest, so before Easter. And then he's talking about the Spirit. And the Spirit we particularly remember in 2 weeks' time, Pentecost. And then there was talk there also about the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But Trinity Sunday is 3 weeks away. So why have we been given this passage in our lectionary today? Well, when we think about Easter and the resurrection, we see this quite rightly as the high point of Jesus' story. That's why we celebrate Easter for 7 weeks. This is not the fifth Sunday after Easter, it's the sixth Sunday of Easter. It is the defining moment in all the story of God and God's relationship with God's people. But also, we can also see this, therefore, as a transition. It is a transitionary period. And the story of Jesus starts right back, not just with the incarnation, but right back at the beginning of the world. In John's Gospel, it opens with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh." Jesus is that Word. And the story of Jesus doesn't end with Ascension Day, which we'll celebrate this Thursday. Jesus' presence with us continues to the end of the age. But Easter is the special point, is the transition point. And with the disciples on Maundy Thursday, they are on the brink of this transition between what had come before and what was yet to come. From Jesus being with them to Jesus leaving them. We read this week from John chapter 14, carrying straight on from where we were reading last week. And we know, see that this passage is all part of Jesus talking to his disciples to give them comfort and reassurance about what would happen, that God's presence would continue with them throughout. And transitions are a common feature of life. John was writing to a community towards the end of the first century, and they too were at a point of transition. They were moving from their life as part of the Jewish community with its regular rhythm of synagogue observances to being part of a growing church made up of Gentiles as well, meeting on a Sunday rather than on a Saturday. We often also find ourselves in similar places of transition between the familiar and the future, sometimes between the known and the unknown, we sometimes think. And in all these situations, Jesus and John, because he chose to record these words for us, they offer a message of comfort and hope as we move through times of transition. And specifically in this passage, there are three great themes that offer to assure us of this hope. There is love. There is the promise of the Holy Spirit. And there is an assurance of the intimate unity of Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the believers. The first then, the centrality of love. I'm sure we all remember St. Paul's words in the 13th chapter of his letter, first letter to the Corinthians, where he speaks about love. He says that love is the greatest of the spiritual gifts, that love never ends. And Paul, too, is speaking to a troubled and a divided community, a community worried about how their future will pan out. And he says that love is the more excellent way, a way that leads us through times of difficulty and uncertainty. And this is a key theme throughout the whole of John's Gospel. In fact, the word love is used more times in John's Gospel and in the letters of John than anywhere else in the New Testament. Here again, the last verse of the passage that I read. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Well, certainly there's a word of assurance in that last part. I will love them, reveal myself to them. As we move forward, when loved by God, God shows God's face to us. But that first part, that might trouble us a little bit. Is there something we need to do in order to be loved by God, to receive a promise of his presence? Jesus says in verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is a sort of circular argument we seem to have here. If we love Jesus, we will keep his commandments. And if we keep his commandments, we will love him. And so we will keep his commandments. Yeah. I think our use of language hinders us a little bit here. Such statements seem to us to be talking about conditions. In order to achieve something, we have to do something else. And then, by converse, if we don't do that something, we don't get the something else. And that could worry us. Are we in this loop or not in this loop? But the reality of what John is saying is that this is just how it is. They are tied together. God's love is unconditional. God's love is there. And because we love Jesus, we will follow his commandments. There's no real circular argument there at all. They all fit together. What are these commandments we are drawn to keep? In John's Gospel, Jesus only gives one commandment. That comes in John chapter 13 and verse 34. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. As we practice love one for another, we come to know the love of God that God shows for us. And as we know the love of God, we practice love for one another. And this love is practical love. It's love shown in concern for justice, in concern for the environment, in concern for telling people, sharing the love of Jesus. It's doing things that make a difference. Just as Jesus made a difference, we make the difference the same way. Jesus then goes on in this passage from John 14 to further assure his disciples by the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is a promise not just to those listening to Jesus, it's a promise to John's community, for which these words were first penned, and to us. And the word used to describe the Spirit here is in Greek, parakletios. We read in the translation I read, it was translated as advocate. But the word also includes the understandings of comforter, counselor, helper, mediator, maybe even broker. In fact, it's such a wide-ranging word that can't just directly be translated to English that some modern translations just transliterate it as paraclete. The Spirit is described as another paraclete, with the implication that Jesus was the first. The relationship that the first disciples had with the physical Jesus as he revealed God to them therefore continues with the work of the Spirit. This means that those of later times, John's community and ours, have the same relationship with God as did Peter, James, Mary, Martha, and the others who were there on that Maundy Thursday. The Paraclete is described as the Spirit of Truth. In other words, again, Jesus says, this is how it is. We are assured that through the Spirit we will be comforted, we will be helped in our mission, we will be taught, we will be welcomed into God's presence. The Spirit is the one that will stand up for us, the one that will support us, the one that will help us, will walk with us, the one that will be present in our lives. That brings us to perhaps the highlight of this passage. The end of verse 17 reads, "You know him," it's the Paraclete, "because he abides with you and he will be in you." And in verse 20, "On that day," that is the day when the Spirit comes, "you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." This is the great mystery of God. It is not just that God is with us through the Spirit, but that we are in God. In the next chapter of the Gospel, that word "abide" is used, that we heard and expanded upon. Jesus uses another of his great "I am" sayings, reading from John chapter 15. "Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing." Jesus is describing an enduring, intimate relationship, just as powerful as a relationship that the three persons of the Trinity enjoy. So for those who are fearful of an unknown future, this is indeed a message of reassurance and hope. We as believers are not alone. Through our connection to Jesus, we become part of something greater. Our lives intertwine with his and ultimately with God the Father. Emphasize the profound sense of community that we as followers, that we share as followers of Christ. The message is clear. We are not just isolated individuals trying to navigate life. Instead, we are woven into a fabric of divine love that connects us to each other and to God. Amen. Please stand as you're able and join with me as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Let us pray for the world and for the church.
The response to loving God in your mercy is hear our prayer. We give you thanks and praise for the beauty of the world that you have made, for the intricate detail and design of each interlocking part. We pray for the world, for respect for its creatures, for wise stewardship of its resources, for just sharing of its bounty. Loving God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks and praise for the diversity and richness of human life, for the creative and sustaining power of human mind and spirit. We pray for the nations, for peace and goodwill among peoples, for wise and just government, for food for the hungry and shelter for the homeless. And today we pray for continued moves towards the peaceful and just settlement of the crisis situations throughout the world. Loving God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks and praise for your Son, our Saviour, whom you sent to live among us and have raised from death to life. We pray for the church, for a spirit of repentance, of faithfulness and obedience, for power to proclaim your gospel in sacrament, deed and word. And today in the Anglican Communion, we pray for the Church of Pakistan, ministry to the Defence Force, the parish of East Redland, for the Diocesan Council, for St Andrew's Anglican College, Peridgian Springs, and our missionary partners, parishes in the Western region, supported by the Bush Ministry Fund. Loving God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks and praise that you are the centre and source of our being, the provider of all we have to share. We pray for this community, for compassion for the vulnerable, for acceptance for the outcast, for relationships of unselfishness, forgiveness, understanding, and love. And today we pray for our local schools, St. Elizabeth's Primary, St. Francis Xavier, and the Red Hill Special School. And in our parish, we give thanks for the opportunity to welcome our local community to our campus for the art show next week. And today we pray and give thanks for all who fulfil the role of mother in our society. Loving God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks and praise that throughout the ages you have loved your people, caring for them in times of trouble and despair. We pray for all in need, for consolation for the sad, for companionship for the lonely, for comfort for those who are in pain, and strength for all who care for them. And today we pray for those who have asked for our prayers, for Ryan, Sharon, Reverend Shane, David, Peter, Lauren, Rita, Don, Margaret, Peter, Maxine and Robin, Glenn and Rose, and Mon. Loving God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We give you thanks and praise that you prepare a dwelling place for all who love you and offer your children the joys of everlasting life. And today, from our parish book of remembrance, we give thanks for the lives of Frank Merlin Waymus, Leonard Alfred Bicknell, Keith Alfred March, Olive Illingworth, Norma Mary McKenna, Brenda Desmond Shields, and Margaret Frances Priscilla O'Brien. We remember your faithful servants of every age. Help us to follow their example, that loving you, we may set aside all that is displeasing in your eyes. Keep your commandments and grow in your ways. With all your saints, bring us home to your eternal presence, that we may live forever in you and with you. God of earth and heaven, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ, the Son of God, has been revealed as a light to the nations. Let us bring our darkness to his light, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand? We are the body of Christ.
The Spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you. As we remain standing, we sing our next hymn, Bless the Lord, O My Soul.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. For your goodness, we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory, for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Loving God, we thank you for this world of wonder and delight you've given us to care for, so all your creatures may enjoy its bounty. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that when we turned away from you, you sent Jesus to live and work as one of us and bring us back to you. He showed us how to love you and set us free to love and serve one another. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that on the cross Jesus took away our sin, all that keeps us from each other and from you. He frees us from hate and fear, from all that destroys love and trust. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that you gave us back the risen one, full of grace and glory. Because he rose again, we go with joy wherever Jesus sends. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that in baptism you made us one with Jesus, and you brought us out of darkness into light. When you pour out your Spirit, you fill us with the gifts we need to be your holy people. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise. And so with everyone who believes in you, with all the saints and angels, we rejoice and praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and light, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And now we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine. May we who receive them, as Jesus said, share his body and his blood. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He shared the cup with them and said, This is my blood poured out so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me. You've gathered us together to feed on Christ and remember all he has done for us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Fill us with your Spirit that we may follow Jesus in all we do and say, working for justice and bringing your peace to this world that you have made. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. As this broken bread was once many grains, which have been gathered together and made one bread, so may your church be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Hallelujah. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Come, let us celebrate the feast. Draw near with faith to feed on Christ in your hearts with thanksgiving. Most glorious Lord of life, we thank you that you nourish us in these Easter mysteries. Fill us with a spirit of love and unite us in faith, that we may witness to the resurrection and show your glory to all the world. Most loving God, you send us into the world you love. Give us grace to go thankfully and with courage in the power of your Spirit. Well, please stand then as we sing together our missional hymn, Teach Me to Dance. Jim was expecting a coda there, but the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.